All right, we're beginning here on the bottom of Samach Aleph Amud Bet, and we have a statement from Rav Nachman. I'm Rav Nachman. Hayah baki behen ubishmoteim. If he was an expert in them and their names, then ofa ba b'siman echad tohor. Then if he has a bird that has one siman tara, then the bird is tohor, and you don't have to worry about it. Lo hayah baki behen ubishmoteim. If he's not an expert in their names and the types of birds, obviously that are tameim, siman achad tamei, then if he only has one siman kashrut, it'll be tamei, v'shnei simanim tahor. And if he has two simanei tara, then he'll be fine. V'hu shiakir oreiv, as long as he knows that the oreiv, or what the oreiv looks like. So now over here you have a statement from Rav Nachman, and this is one of the key points along in the Gemara, where the differences of opinion start to really branch out and make a significant difference in how we view the whole sugya over here. We've explained it according to Rashi. We mentioned the view of the Rabbeinu Tam, as well as the view of the Chachmei Provence, which Rabbi Moshe Bar Yosef. And those three opinions really are the main ways to learn the sugya. Each of them has a difficulty in learning through the sugya, but the one that is favored heavily by the other Rishonim includes the Bala Mor, who quotes him at first. The Ramban afterwards quotes him in the name of the Bala Mor and by his name as well. And then you have the Rashba as well that quotes him. They all are suggesting that Rav Moshe Bar Yosef's approach is the most appropriate approach for the Gemara, and it eases a lot of the questions that you have in terms of the flow of the Gemara. So just as a quick summary to go over the three different opinions. Rashi is of the opinion, and this is the main way that we learned the Gemara yesterday, that you have 24 birds, and of those 24 birds, 20 of them have something in common, and then there are four other birds that are unique in some way or form. Nesher, which everybody agrees, has none of the Simanei Tara, and that's why it was focused on yesterday, because that gives us the four Simanei Tara in contrast to the Tor. What the Tor has, the Nesher doesn't have, and vice versa, and that gives us the four, and that was Peusham Midibrei Chachamim. That's how the Chachamim helped us, by giving us that contrast. That's the Nesher. After that, we have the Peres Ve'ozniah. Peres and Ozniah have one Siman Tara, according to Rashi. And we actually, Rashi says, don't know which Siman Tara it is that they have. But they have one Siman Tara. And that one Siman Tara in one of them is distinct from all the other birds. And that's what makes it unique, or somewhat problematic. Then you have the Orev, that has two Simanei Tara. And then you have the other 20 birds that have three Simanei Tara. Now for Rashi, as we noted yesterday, there are four Simanei Tara, because for him, Dores is just one of the Simanei Tara. You have four Simanei Tara. According to Rabbi Gamliel, the way they read it is, if you are not Dores, then we look at you need the other three Simanei Tara. But not that the other three Simanei Tara are in any way connected to Dores. Those are four independent Simanei Tara. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. And therefore over here, with Rav Nachman's statement, he says, if you find a bird that has one Siman Tara, there's only a risk that it's one of two birds, and that is that it's a Peres or an Ozniah. Those are only two possibilities over here as to what the bird is. And therefore, when Rav Nachman says, Yabaki behen ubishmotehem, if he's an expert in their names and which the birds are, then an oaf that comes with Siman Echad is going to be Tahor. What he means, according to Rashi, is Peres v'Ozniah. That's what he knows. He knows those birds. He knows what they look like. He knows that they're called Peres v'Ozniah. And Tosafot says the same thing, that you know that information, and that information will then allow you to eat any bird you find with one Siman Tara, because there is no confusion. One Siman Tara gives you absolutely no confusion, because only two birds. And if you know what those two birds or those two species are, then you're clear to eat the bird. If not, then you have to wait for two Simanim. Once you have two Simanim, again, there's only one bird that you can be confused with, and that is the Orev, the raven, because the raven has two Simanei Tahara, and therefore, if you know what the Orev is, then you can eliminate those possibilities. Once you eliminate those possibilities, then you can eat any bird that comes to you with two Simanei Tahara. That's Rashi's view. The Rabbeinu Tam's view is really somewhat of a mix between Rashi and the Moshe Bar Yosef, but really follows in general the view of Rashi with one exception, which again we noted yesterday, which is that the Rabbeinu Tam believes that Dores is a super siman, and that is that if an animal is dores, it's automatically excluded. Rashi agrees with that. But vice versa, if an animal is not dores, that's really the thing that matters. And the other three simanim are indications that it's eno dores. That means if you have the other three simanei tahara, then you know the bird by definition is eno dores. They are synonymous. A bird that is dores will not have three simanei tahara. If a bird has three simanei tahara, then he is eno dores. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam says. So Tosafot pointed out yesterday, for the Rabbeinu Tam, one of the simanei tahara in all of these birds has to be eno dores. By definition, one of the three simanim that we're speaking about in all these situations has to be eno dores, because if it was dores, then it can't be that the other three simanei tahara exist. So for instance, in those 20 birds, where we said there are three simanei tahara, for the Rabbeinu Tam, one of those three has to be eno dores. Because it was the other three, then by definition it would be eno dores and it would be a kosher bird. So it has to be eno dores plus two of the others. So that's his distinction from Rashi. Rashi could have the other three be the simanim, and we just don't know about dores with that bird. Obviously it would be three, and the bird is dores. For Rashi, that's an easy way to explain the Gemara, that you have three simanei tahara, and the bird is dores. And that's what makes it problematic, is the fact that it is dores. It's one of the four simanim, and it's missing that fourth siman. For the Rabbeinu Tam, that's not plausible, because if you have three simanei tahara, then by definition, you're eno dores. For him, one of the three has to be eno dores. But then he follows with Rashi in the remainder of the explanation in terms of what is the breakdown of the birds. And Rav Moshe Bar Yosef comes up with a big chiddush over here. And that chiddush really is the key to the puzzle of many of the statements in the sugya. And that is, first of all, like the Rabbeinu Tam, or really probably the Rabbeinu Tam was following Rav Moshe Bar Yosef, he's a much earlier Rishon from the Chachmei Provence, he says that any oaf that's dores is tamei, that's a given, and anything that has three simanei tahara, besides dores and eno dores, by definition is eno dores. So similar to what we said in the Rabbeinu Tam, then the other three are indications as to whether you are or not dores. But here he comes up with the big chiddush that he has, which is that the Braita that we quoted yesterday has some duplicative language in it, and this is the key to his Shita. The Gemara said yesterday, Gemiri, we have a Mesorah, Esrim V'arba'al Fot Tmeim Heim. There are 24 non-kosher birds. And then it says, V'arba'al Simanim, and there are four Simanim. That's the key to Rashi's shot, that there are four Simanim and not three Simanim. But then it says two things. It says, Tlata Hadre Bikulo, that three of them repeat themselves in all of them. And then it says, Esrimehem Shlosha Shlosha. And then again it says, 20 of them have three, three. For Rashi, those were the same thing. Tlata Hadre Bikulo, there are three that appear with all of them, and the 20 of them that have three, three, have those three that appear in all of them. So it's almost duplicative in the Braita. So what the Rav Moshe Bar Yosef is Michadesh is the following. He says that Tlata Hadre Bikulo means there are three simanei tahara that appear in all of them in the aggregate. That means no single bird has all three of these simanei tahara, but the birds have one of those three simanei tahara. And so when the Braita says afterwards, Esrimehem Shlosha Shlosha, 20 of them have three, three, it doesn't mean that each bird has three. It means that those birds have one of those three that are mentioned. And therefore, for the Rav Moshe Bar Yosef, the 20 birds and the Paris and the Oznia all have one siman tahara. They don't have multiple simanei tahara. They all have one. And they have the same one, not same little one, but there's a group of three. Three out of the four simanim that they have one of those three simanim. With the exception of the Paris and Oznia, and if that's why, here's the deficit in his shot. Why did they single out the Paris of Oznia? One of them we know why, because it was problematic. The other one, not clear. But one of those two has a different siman tahara than everything else. Everything else has these three, the grouping of three simanei tahara. This Paris of Oznia has that fourth siman tahara. Just one, but has that fourth one. And that's going to cause you problems now, because when you have a bird with one siman tahara, then it's possible that it is the Paris Vosnia, because that's the one that is not found in the rest. So therefore, for him, all the other Ofot, meaning the 20 Ofot, have one Siman Tahara, and they are Dores. They are Dores, so we know they're not kosher birds, but they do have one Siman Tahara.
The problem with that view is a line in the Gemara on Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, which says, Im Kain Sharofot Tmeim Dichtiv Rachmana Lameli. Why is the Torah write the other birds, implying that the other birds have three simanei tahara, which is the cornerstone of Rashi's pshat? It turns out that the Rav Moshe Bar Yosef And the Ramban seconds this in older Girsot, does not have that Girsa in his Gemara, and thinks it was added in based on a position of the Baal Halachot Gedolot. And so for them, they skip this piece of the Gemara and jump to Orev right away, and not Sharofot Tmeim. And that way they don't have a 3-2-1 sequence that we worked on in yesterday's Gemara on Samach Aleph and Aleph, but rather the Gemara goes from Torim to Orev, and then to the birds with a single siman, which is all the remainder of the birds. So that is the difficulty in that shita, but that shita also seems to not have that girsa in the Gemara, and therefore is not faced with that problem. The Orev has two simanei tara, but it is also doreis. Because again, you have to have it be doreis in order to be problematic, and that's the problem with all of these birds, that they are dorsim. And then the peres vosnia have one siman achat shel tara, and one of those is eno doreis. And that's the key to this part here, which is the peres vosnia. That fourth one, siman tara, is eno doreis. All of the 24 birds are doreis, with the exception of one, which is eno doreis. And that is the siman tara in that bird, is that it's eno doreis. All right. So that's the view of the Rav Moshe Bayosef. Then, when Rav Nachman comes and makes a statement, he says, "I'm Rav Nachman, I have a key behind which moteim." If he knows all the birds and their names, "Ova babi siman achat tor," then you have a bird with one siman tara, you're fine. When it says here, "Paki b'shmehem u'shmoteim," it doesn't mean peres vosnia, you know those two birds. It means you have to know all the birds, because 22 of the birds have one siman tara. So you need to know all the birds that are tmeim, with the exception of the orev. All 22 birds have one siman tara. So therefore, if you have one siman tara in front of you, the only way to be sure that's a Torah bird is if you're baki behen ubish motehen. Meaning literally, you know all these 24 birds, and you know how to make them distinct. So that's the view of Rav Moshe Bar Yosef. Then we move on to simanei tara. So now for Rashi, two simanei tara, and for the Rav Moshe Bar Yosef, and for the Rabbeinu Tam, two simanei tara means you're speaking about one possible bird here that is two simanei tara, and that's the orev. The orev is the only bird that possibly has two simanei tara, and that's why you have to know who shiakir orev. You need to know the orev, and if you know the orev, then once you have two simanei tara, you're in the clear. Where it says orev betulo, is the orev the only bird that has two simanei tara and nothing else? Vatanya, don't we have a breita? Orev Ze Orev, so the Orev means literally the raven, and so the Orev is Orev. Let me know, includes not just the Orev, but anything in the species, in the category of the Orev. So now, that includes other birds. So what do you mean you have to know just the Orev? You need to know the Orev, plus the broader category that the Orev includes. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Lavi et Azarzir. It comes to include the starling. So the starling is similar, we'll see in a second, to the Orev, and he thinks that it's included. Amru lo the Rebbe Eliezer, halo anshei kfar Tamarta, Shebiuda, the people of the village of Tamarta. It's interesting, I don't know if it's connected to En Gedi, it's connected to the Ir HaTamarim, it's Yericho, but there's the city or the village of Tamarta in Yehuda. Hayu ochlim otan, they ate these birds, the Zarzir, Mipnei sheyesh lahen zefek, because it has a crop, and therefore they ate it. Amar lahem, so he says to the chachamim, avein atidin liten et adin. They're going to pay the price for that, because they're eating a non-kosher bird. Now, Rashi over here makes a comment that is important to the understanding here, or identifying the orev. Mipnei sheyesh lahen zefek, Rashi says, ve'ein ze motan shnei simanim sheba orev. That's not one of the two simanim in the orev. The orev has two simanim, and this bird has a zefek, which is a siman tara, to have a crop, but that's not one of the two simanim of an orev. And that really indicates what the machloket is between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are arguing about how or when you can include something under the category of orev. It does not have the same features as the orev. It has a zefek plus something else to be a siman tara. The zefek is not one of the two things that are siman tara for orev. So then why would you include it as being a party to the family of the orev? So the Gemara in Bava Kamma says that the zarzir is considered to be part of the orev family because the loach chinam zarzir holeich etzel orev elam b'nei shehu mino. That the truth is that the zarzir lives together with the orvin, in that they live in groups together. They are in many of the same places you find both birds.
And so Rabbi Eliezer says the fact that the Zarzir lives together with the Orev is an indication that they are connected familially, or that they have a certain joint species to them, and therefore Mino could be a reference to the Zarzir. The Chachamim obviously say that just because you live together doesn't mean that you are the same species, especially since there's a distinction in the Siman Tara. Rashi, in other places, says Mar'eyu. There's a distinction in its appearances. So that's Rabbi Eliezer's view. But then we have another story, which Limino, Lavi, Sanunit, Livana. When it says Limino, it comes to include this Sanunit Livana, which is the white-bellied swallow, or otherwise known as the barn swallow, the white-bellied barn swallow, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Again, Rabbi Eliezer includes this in the family of the Orvim. Amrlo, v'lo anshei Galil ha'elyon uchlim oto. Don't the people up in the Galil eat it? Because this has a siman tara, which is that its pupik, its gizzard, peels out easily. Amar lahem, again, Rabbi Eliezer says, afein atidin, litein et adin. They're going to pay a price for this, because it's one of the non-kosher birds, and they're eating a non-kosher bird. Ella, what you have to say is, orev, v'chol min orev. That what you have to know, in order to make sure that the birds are kshirim, is you need to need an orev. And anything in the family of the Orev, you need to know all of those items in order to say it, bird with two simanei tara, is fine. Now, Rashi again over here says that the siman that they had was not that of the kurkobano niklaf. So now, the Orev has two simanei tara, and we just identified two birds that are similar to the Orev, but they have a siman tara that doesn't appear in the Orev, according to Rashi. That means that the kurkobano niklaf and zepek are not the simanim of an orev. That leaves you only two simanim left, which means that the orev, according to Rashi, is etzpa yetera and eno dores. Those are the two simanim, according to Rashi, because those are the two simanim we didn't mention here of the birds that we say are similar to the orev. So the orev is etzpa yetera ve'eno dores, and then these birds had a zefek and had a korkono niklap, and then had one other siman tara, which is not identified over here. Or maybe they had no other simanei tara. And the simanei tara, according to some explanations over here, are not the reason why they were torim, but rather they were a way to identify the birds for the people. There was an asmachta, not that that was the reason they were torim. They had a mesorah that they were torim. But the reason that they mentioned these simanei tara was a way for them to identify or to connect with these birds and to say that this is the bird that's a reference in the Misora. So Rashi says it's Etzper Yeritera Veinu Dores. Tosafot over here brings Mashma Danach Siman Letnehu Borev. He quotes Rashi, who says that these two simanim seem like they do not appear in an orev. And that's the Makloke between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. But then he quotes, Rabbi Yitzchak Be'ar Rabbeinu Meir. Rabbi Yitzchak Be'ar Rabbi Meir is Rashi's grandson, the Rivam. Rabbi Meir is Rashi's son-in-law. And the Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Meir, is the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam's brother, and he is Rashi's grandson. Badak Borev, Shanu Korim Korbil. He checked the Orev to see. V'matza sham lo etzpa yotera v'zefek. Problem is, now he came up with two different simanim that are to Orev. For him, he found that it was an etzpa yotera and a zefek were in the Orev, and those were the two simanei tara of an Orev. And so now he says, it can't be what Rashi was suggesting, that the two simanei tara are etzpa yetera and eno dores, because that's not what you find. When you look in the Orev, you find the etzpa yetera, but you find a zefek and not an eno dores. And that's what he considers now to be the two simanei tara of the Orev. But then he says, v'kash of the perish rivam, dime Orev yeshlo etzpa yetera v'zefek, im kein ein kogreno niklaf v'dores. Now you have a problem, because then what's left over means that the other two simanim it doesn't have, which is, that means that its gizzard does not peel out, and it's dores. And that's based on Tosafot Shita brought by the Rabbeinu Tam, that if an animal is dores, then automatically it's out. And that's the whole idea of the dores. The dores is this super feature, that if you're dores, you are tameh. And so then what's the question over here? I mean, if it's korbanonik laf and it's dores, by definition, one of those two simanim has to be that it's not dores. The whole for the race, tamei. Shmamina, the orev, and the race. It says it has to be that the orev is not a dores. It's the efshar. So, toshanu korim korbil, sheish bletze yitera vezefek, kmo kein enu dores. Maybe that which the Rivam was checking, this korbil, actually has three features to it. It has an etzbe yitera, zefek, and it's enu dores. And therefore it's one of the 20 birds, not the orev. And he misidentified it as being an orev. He says, v'nitzdrach l'dchok l'faresh dach gemar. So Tosafot, in defense of the Rebbeinu Tam and of that Shita, says maybe it is that the bird came before us, it has two simanei tara, and we don't know about drisa. That's up in the air. V'lo badakto min dores olo. We didn't check if it was a dores. V'im nakir shein ze orev, ein lachush shem adoresu. As long as you're not in the family of the orev, then you're not going to have a bird that is dores and has two simanei tahara. And so therefore, what he suggests is that we don't know the information about drisa. And therefore, we have to worry about it being the orev or the family of the orev. And once you know that it's not part of the family of the orev, then you don't have to worry about drisa as well, because the orev is the only one with two simanei tahara. Umikomako, lo nistapku b'tisha, asar ufo, Tosfot has 19 instead of 20 and throughout the Gersa of the Gemara here. And you don't have to worry about that because all of the other birds have three simanim and they are all dores. And the remaining three it has in them, which is a huge problem now because that's against Rabbeinu Tam. And that's what he says here. The lo kaperish Rabbeinu Tam. That goes against the view of the Rabbeinu Tam. So you have dores as one siman and the other three as being torim. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's impossible. That doesn't happen. It only works according to Rashi. And then he says, "Miu ein lashon mashma kein." Dabe bet simanim mashma, but daktum shein lo yoter. Tosfot does that all speculatively, and then says it doesn't make any sense. What makes sense here is to say that there are two simanim and only two simanim over here. So therefore, he comes up with an explanation. Here. Venira the faresh b'hachi pligi Reb Lezer Rabbanan. The zefek shel zayizir katanhu. The crop of the zayizir is very small. V'kurko ano shel sanunit. And the gizzard of the sanunit levana does not peel out by hand. It only peels out with a knife or in a more difficult way. And therefore Rabbi Eliezer says they don't qualify to be a zefek and a kurkobano nikla, as opposed to the chachamim, who see them as being simanei tahara. So over here you have a suggestion. The Tosfot at first brings up that two simanei tahara that we find by an orev are etzbe yetera ve'eno dores, similar to Rashi's view over here, that the ones that are mentioned here are not the ones of the orev. We have a disagreement from the Rivam who suggests that it is etzbe yetera and zefek are the two that are sherim. And then we have a third opinion, which is Rav Moshe Bar Yosef, who says the bet simanei tahara of the orev are two simanei tahara, plus it is dores. So one of those two is certainly not eno dores. And then you have two simanei tahara that are associated with the orev, and that's etzba yetera, the kurkobano niklaf. So you actually have three opinions as to what the two are for the orev. Rashi says it's etzba yetera ve'enu dores. The Rivam says it's etzba yetera and the zefek. And the Ramban mentions for Moshe Ben Yosef that it is etzba yetera ve'kurkobano niklaf. So they all agree that etzba yetera is the one siman that the orev has. The question is, what's the second siman? Rashi is eno dores, but that's Rashi the Shittato, that it can't be eno dores. According to Rav Moshe Ben Yosef and Rav Meir Tam, that's impossible. So therefore, they have the other possibilities. Again, the Rivam says just that it's a zefek, it has a crop, and the Ramban says it is the kurkobano niklaf, that the gizzard peels away. And then, Vayit Tosfot here speculate that maybe the machlok with Rav Elezer and the Chachamim is not about what the simanei tahara of the orev versus these are, but simply, are these qualified to be the simanei tahara? Is the zefek and the kurkobano niklaf of these birds good enough to be considered a kosher bird because they are smaller, but they don't peel away as easily as normal? And therefore they have this unique feature that maybe makes it over the threshold or doesn't make it over the threshold, and that's the machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. Now the Ramban is heavily influenced by a shita of the Gonim, which we're going to see later today, that kurkobano niklaf, according to the Rabbeinu Hananel, and for the Baal Halachot Gedolot, is known as a siman muvhak. That if kurkobano niklaf, by definition, it's a kosher bird, and that's really the only siman that you need. It's like another super siman that we have here, according to them. And therefore, the orev, it has two simanim, the assumption is that it has the etzbe yetera and the kurkobano niklaf, because of that piece. So now, Amar Meimar. So now Meimar says, Hilchata, ofa baba siman echad tohor. that a oak that comes with one siman is tor, v'hodododoris, and that assumes that it's not a bird of prey. So now, Rashi says over here, so, ovobab siman achad, afilu ein baki behem b'shmotehen. Even if he doesn't an expert in anything, we get something with one siman tara, then we're all good. And according to Rashi, v'hani mili dododoris, ki mashkachinu behe siman achad mechazukin lei b'tohor, kukolma delo kazinin lei dodoris. Could be any one of the simanim, that's fine. As long as we know that it doesn't doreis. Not that we have to know, but we never see that it is doreis. So according to Rashi, it could be literally any one of the simanim. If you have one siman, we don't worry about it. Amar Rav Ashi Lameimar, had the Rav Nachman mind. What about Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman said before, if you have siman achad, you need to be an expert in order to clarify this situation. Amar Lei, lo shmili. I never heard of Rav Nachman. Klomar, lo svirli. I don't hold a Rav Nachman. Ma'ika. So then, what are you going to worry about? Mishum peres v'oznia. You're worried about those two birds that have a single siman tara. Again, this is Rashi the Shitato, that they have one of those simanim. Let neho be yishuv. They're not found in inhabited areas. Meaning that we don't bump into them. They aren't where we live. That's not one of the birds that we bump into. And since we don't bump into them, there's no safek that that's the bird that you're talking about. So according to Rashi, if you have a bird that has one siman tara, and its only possibility, according to him, is the peres v'oznia. And the fact that it's the peres v'oznia, we don't worry about because it doesn't live amongst us. It's not one of the birds that frequents this area. If you're in an area where it is, then you'd have a problem. But we don't have that over here. And so therefore, any one of them with the siman tara is fine. As long, and then there's this qualification, dolo doris. As long as it is not doreis, meaning that it is not something that we know is doreis. And remember, yesterday Rashi said about the peres v'oznia, we don't know which siman it has. We don't know which of the fourth siman is the one siman that we have. A lot of the other Rishonim disagree and say we do know what the siman is. And even if we knew the siman, it would be problematic. But here, according to Rashi, don't know what the siman is, but it doesn't matter because the peres and v'oznia do not appear amongst us. That's the view of Rashi. So then Tosfot says, Pekashom. I don't understand that Rashi's explanation over here. Amai tohor, shema orevu. According to Rashi, why isn't it a possibility that it's an orev? According to Rashi, two siman tara can make you into an orev. Over here, the qualification is it has one siman tara, plus it's eno dores. Well, that for Rashi means that you have two siman tara. So why can't you confuse it with an orev according to Rashi? And therefore, he says, v'nirli dehu delo doris, klomar v'otu siman achad haino dein dores. The Baalei Tosfot say something over here that almost all the Rishonim now say, which is, the statement of Meimar is the following. Hilchata ofo babi siman echad, an oaf that comes with one siman, tohor, that is tohor, v'ho delo doris. And that one siman is, deino doris. That is the siman that we have. And since that's the siman, then we know that it is tohor. Why? So now going back to the other shitot, according to Rabbeinu Tam, and according to Rav Moshe Bar Yosef, if it's eno dores, there is only one non-kosher bird that is eno dores according to them. If you remember, we said according to both Rav Moshe Bar Yosef and Rabbeinu Tam, the unique feature of the peres v'oznia that none of the other birds have is eno dores. So now, literally, the only birds you need to worry about are the peres v'oznia, because one of them is an eno dores. So they're the one exception to the rule. There's a tamei bird that is eno dores. So now, if you have eno dores, it's foolproof. Eno Dores is the best siman that you can have, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, according to the Moshe Bar Yosef. Just the one problem is, there's one bird that has that Eno Dores, that one either the peres or the oznia, and that's your risk. So then they say, what about Rav Nachman, and you need to know the birds? The answer to that is, Mishum peres oznia, let nehu be yishu. They don't live here. So we don't have to worry about that one bird that is Eno Dores, that is Tameh, because they don't live amongst us, and therefore you're in all clear. So that if you find something with the one siman tara, and that one siman tara is eno dores, now the Ramban in explaining this view of a Meimar, why does he say hilchot ofechad babi siman achad tohor? The lo dores is a funny language. Just say if there's a bird so lo dores, then it's tohor. Why does he say this funny language? He says he's responding to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said hayav baki b'emeshmotem ofo babi siman achad tohor. So he's using the same language as Rav Nachman because he's disagreeing. He says, Siman Echad Tohor, V'ho Delo Doris. He's using Rav Nachman's language, but making a play on that and saying, it's just not true. You don't need to know the birds. As long as it's Eno Dores, you're in the all clear. And that's the view of Rav Moshe Bar Yosef and the Rabbeinu Tam would have to say something similar. That's why the Bali Tosfot over here question Rashi's view here, because Rashi's view would open up the possibility that's also no Reif. Because if you think it's a Siman HaChator plus it's Lo Doreis, then you have two Simanei Tara. And that already for Rashi could be no Reif. Now for Rav Moshe Bar Yosef, it could be one of the 20 birds, because it's one Siman Tara, and all 20 birds have one Siman Tara. But we said before, they all have the same three that work between them. There are only three Simanei Tara, and none of them are Eino Doreis. The only one that has Eino Doreis is the Peres Bozniya, and that's what we discarded because we said, let Nehu be Yishuv. Right, that becomes a serious issue. Last night, when we went to the presentation by Rabbi Slifkin, by the museum, he spoke about this exact issue, which is that many of the translations of the birds, or the assumptions of the birds, is being influenced by where they live. And that was Rashi's comment on Friday's daf on Nuntet, that a Tzvi is not a Tzvi. The Tzvi that we have is not the Tzvi that the Gemara is speaking about. That comment is coming from that same place. Same thing over here with the Korbil that the Rivam is checking out. He thinks that's an Orev. It's not clear that the Orev that they're speaking about is the same Orev that we're speaking about. And that's what creates some of the problems in terms of lost in translation, which is that they're looking at different animals than the animals over here. Once you come to Eretz Yisrael, it's much clearer what the animals are, and those that are indigenous to Eretz Yisrael. The only real exception to that is with birds, and that's because Israel is a migratory path for most of the birds that move between Europe and Africa. That means twice a year, there are, I think, what is it, some crazy number, like 2 million birds that pass through Eretz Yisrael, and that means that even though they're not indigenous to Eretz Yisrael, these birds do pass through Eretz Yisrael twice a year. So it is a possibility that some of those birds that they know in Europe are the birds that we're speaking about here in Eretz Yisrael, because they did pass through here at a certain point in time during the year. Now, Amar Rav Yehuda, Of HaMitzareit Kasher, the Tarat Mitzora. So the Of HaMitzareit can be used for the Tarat HaMitzora, because that's the Tzipor that is mentioned in the Torah. V'zohi Sononit Libana. And this is the white-bellied swallow, or the barn swallow. That's the bird that they argue about. That's the bird that you can use for Tarat Mitzorah, because that's the tzipor that is mentioned in the Torah for Tarat Mitzorah. So Amar Ameimar, Bichivara Karsa. If it has a white belly, that's why it's called the white-bellied swallow, Kuleyama Loplige the Sharia. Everybody agrees that it is Mutar. Kiplige, where do they argue? Bidiroka Karsa. If it has a, whether it's yellowish or greenish belly, that's where they argue. Rabbi Lezer Asar. Rabbi Lezer says it's problematic. That's the argument that we had up above of it's underneath Levana. Rabbanan, Sharu. And the Rabbanan think it is Mutar. Behilchatoke, Rabbi Eliezer. And in that case, the locha is like Rabbi Eliezer, which would mean that the white-bellied swallow is okay, Mutar according to everyone, and it's the Tzipor for Tarata Mitzora. It's the yellow or green-bellied one that is problematic. And that's the locha. That's Marzutra Matnehochi. This is the way Marzutra had the Misora. Bidi Roka Karsa Kuliamalo Pligi Dasir. If it has a greenish belly, then everybody agrees that it is problematic. Kiplige Bidi Chivara Karsa. They argue about whether it is a white-bellied one. Rabbi Lezer Asar. Lezer says it's problematic. Rabbanan Sharu. And Rabbanan say it's Mutarim. Behilchataki Rabbanan Disharu. And the Loch is like the Rabbanan that say it is Mutar. What comes out of this is that, according to both Lishonot, the white-bellied swallow is okay. According to the first Lashon, the white-bellied swallow is agreed to by everyone that it is fine. And in the second Lashon, it's the Rabbanon's position that the white-bellied swallow is okay, and we pass them like the Rabbanon according to the second Lashon. So according to either Lashon, the white-bellied swallow is okay. And according to the second Lashon that says that they argue about the white-bellied swallow, Haynu diktani, that makes sense than what Rabbi Yehuda said. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Ofa misareit kasher l'tarat mitzorah. It's good for tarat mitzorah. Bizohi sanunit levana shenech lukuba. That's the sanunit levana that they argue about. That's why it says, zohi sanunit levana. This is the white-bellied swallow, what they argue about, because that's exactly where they argue according to the second Lashon. Elamanda amar b'dikiroka plige. According to one who says that they argue about whether it's the yellow one or the green-bellied one, my zohi sanunit levana. What does that mean, that this is the white-bellied swallow that they argue about? They don't argue about the white-bellied swallow. Everybody thinks it's okay according to the first Lashon. La fuke debate. Now it's coming to exclude that there's a third type of swallow, which is the house swallow, the uchmate, that is black or darker colored. So there are three different swallows. There's the white-bellied swallow, which is the barn swallow. And then there's this greenish swallow. And then there's the house swallow, or the blackened swallow, which is the one that we're not speaking about. So when he says, Sunanit Lemana, it means either the white or green one, not the black one. I mean, it's some color besides black. And that's why it's coming to exclude it. Okay, now, Amar Rachba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So what's very interesting over here is that we have a quote now from Rachba in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda would have been from Eretz Yisrael, and that means that he was probably a Tana. That's what we know in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana. But Rachba didn't necessarily see the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda. So then how is he quoting from Rabbi Yehuda? So the Baal Tosafot say something very interesting over here, and they say this is really Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda in Bavel, who is a Talmud of Rav and Shmuel. But then why are they calling him Rabbi when he's from Bavel? That's why his name is Rav Yehuda, is because he's from Bavel. So Tosfot over here says, Hainu Rav Yehuda Stama, Ufishaya Robo Muvhak. Because he was his Rebbe, his prominent and primary Rebbe, Kamar Rabbi. He calls him Rabbi out of deference to him, but only Rachba did. That's not his general name as being Rabbi Yehuda. It's only in this case, because it's Rachba who saw Rav Yehuda as his Rebbe, called him Rabbi Yehuda. But nobody else calls him that, and this is a unique case. Tosfot then, he says, V'yesh Mefarshim, some suggest over here, that he's quoting the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, and that it has to do with the story that Rachba was very makpid in what he quoted and how he quoted things, and the Baal Tosafot over here reject that view, and say that the case that they bring over there has to do with the language, and not who he's quoting it from, and therefore he believes that Rabbi Yehuda over here is Rabbi Yehuda, and it's just because he's his Rebbe, he calls him Rabbi Yehuda. So now, Amar Rachba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi Yehuda, Tasil Pasul Mishum Torim, Gasher Mishum Bnei Yodan. So now the Tasil is not under the category of Torin. Now Torin, as we described yesterday, are likely the turtle dove, or the striped-necked turtle dove, and then Bnei Yonah, which are likely the pigeons. Torim and Bnei Yonah are both Kasherim. They're both birds that are Kasher, and they're both birds that can be brought as Korbanot. But what he's pointing out is that Tasil is not under the category of Tor, but it's under the category of Bnei Yonah. So that's important because Bnei Yonah, meaning the pigeons, can only be brought when they are young. The Torim, on the other hand, can only be brought when they are older. So the turtle dove, or the striped-necked turtle dove, can only be brought when it is older. So now when it says Tasil is not considered to be a Tor, but it is considered to be a Ben Yonah, it means it can only be brought when it's young. Datsife, Vitorin, Shorachva, and these two other species are Sherim Mishum Torim. They are both Kasher for being Torim. Upsuli Mishum Bnei Yonah. But on the other hand, they are disqualified as being Bnei Yonah. So there, these two birds are under the category of Torim. And the first bird is under the category of Bnei Yonah, and we already discussed what the Nafkamina is. It's in that category, which technically, on a zoological basis, would mean that they're from the same species, but the Gemara has a looser definition of min than species, and therefore whatever it is, it's under that category. It could be the same species, or it could be something that is close enough that it's classified as the same min for the Chachamim. Now, Meitim Rav Daniel Bar Rav Katina, Kol Ofot, all birds, Puslim et Mechatat. They ruin the Mechatat, Chutz min HaYonah, Mipnei Shem Motzetzet. With the exception of the Yonah, because of the way that it drinks. The problem over here is that you have Mechatat, waters that are going to be used for the Paraduma, that were drawn specifically and particularly for the usage of the Mechatat. The rules of the Mechatat are that, number one, you can't do Malacha with them, can't do any work with them. Number two is you can't be Mesiach Dat from them, you can't have them go out of your mind or be forgotten about, and you can't have any other water mixed in with them. One of those three things happens when a bird drinks from such waters. So the birds that drink the waters, you can see, Rashi says, im shatumehem, if they drink from them, then the waters are problematic, because he says, v'naim noflim ipnehem, the water falls out of their mouth as they're drinking from them. V'ayin kemishin ha-seifeh melacha, as if you've done work with the mechatat. So that's one of those things that could be poselet. The kaimalan that melacha pasoltan, that melacha ruins them. There is an additional view that Rashi brings that that if it's something that spits out or falls out of the mouth, then you're mixing in rope, you're mixing in saliva with the waters, and that's a posel because you brought other waters to bear. Other Rishonim suggest, like the Rambam suggests, that's a problem of Hesechadat. That if you allow the birds are drinking from it, then there's Hesechadat from the waters. So now, and one of those reasons is a problem when you have birds that drink from it. But the exception to that is the Yonah. Mineshim Motzetzet. Because the way that it drinks is that it sucks up the water, rather than the typical way that a bird drinks, which is the bird it dicks its whole head in, lifts up the water with its lower beak, and then the water, excess water, falls away from the mouth of the bird. Whereas the Yonah goes in and sucks up the water, only takes what it needs. Meaning that whatever it takes in is going to drink. Nothing else will come out or dribble out of the mouth. None of it will fall back into the water. So that's what the Braita says over here. Anything that requires mechadat, if any bird drinks from it, it's problematic, with the exception of the Yonah. If you're right about this, litnei chutz mi Yonah vitasil. If you're right about this, then the Yonah is not the only exception. The tasil is also an exception, because the tasil, now you told me, is under the category of b'nei Yonah. So then, if it's under the category of b'nei Yonah, then why aren't you mentioning the Yonah vitasil? Amar Rabbi Zeira, zeh motzeitz umeki, zeh motzeitz ve'enu meki. You're right, it is a subcategory of b'nei Yonah, the tasil, because it is motzeitz. Like the Yonah, it sucks up its water, but it has a slightly different feature, which is that Rashi notes over here, Vafilo achi min Yonahu da motzeitz, v'sharafot ein motzeitzim. And no other bird sucks up the water, they all dip their beaks in order to get the water. Ela shoavim b'chartum atachton. They draw it up with their lower beak. They came into chasil maki, but the chasil, after it sucks it up, spits some of it out, posel mipnei akeya. That's what causes the problem. So the chasil, even though it's similar to the Yonah in that it's motzeitz, it has a feature not like the Yonah, where the Yonah takes all the water and never gives any back. The chasil sucks up the water, but then spits some of it back out. And that's why it's posel the mechatat, and that's why it's only chutz min Yonah, and not chutz min Yonah the chasil. Interestingly enough, and there is one species of the Yonim that is not motzeitz, which is known as the tooth-billed pigeon, but it is a large pigeon that's only found in Samoa. The problem with that is that it's not indigenous to Eretz Yisrael. So now, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Hana Kushane Tzutzaine. These Kushane Tzutzaine, Sherim Legabi Mizbeach, they're fine to put on Mizbeach, Vehein Ein Torin Shel Rechava. These are the Torim Shel Rechava, which, again, we mentioned previously, that the Atzife and the Torim Shel Rechava are a subcategory of Torim. And so here, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that these Kushani Tzutzaine are Sherim Legabi Mizbeach, because they're synonymous with the Torim Shel Rechava. The Rashi over here says, Kufshani are Torim B'Lashon Arami. That's the word for Tor in Aramaic. Tzutzaini Al Shem Makom. They come from that particular place. So what Kufshani de Tzutzaini means is, these are Torim from the location of Tzutzaini. That's how Rashi reads it. Others say that the word Tzutzaini comes from the word Tziyain, some sort of feature or some sort of crown that are associated with. It's the Tor with the crown on it. That's the way the Oruch translates the word Tzutzaini over here. Not that it's a place, but it's a description of a feature of the bird, like the crown of the bird. Or could be the sound that it makes, which is Tzutzaini, is actually the noise that it makes, like Emanatopia, where the word reflects the sound that the bird makes. Now, Meitve, is that really true? Ezov. There are certain things in the Torah that require an ezov in order to be processed. One of them is in Mitzrayim. They needed an ezov to put the dam on the mezuzot and the mashkot. By Mitzora, Tarata Mitzora, you need an ezov in order to be mitayer from the gaim, whether it's a bite, a beged, or a human being. And also you need an ezov in the processing of the paraduma, in order to make the ashes of the paraduma. So then, when the Torah says ezov, then the braita is brought down in that context, which says, ezov, below ezov yavan, below ezov kochli, below ezov romi, below midbari. When the Torah says ezov, it means an ezov. It doesn't mean the Greek ezov. It doesn't mean the ezov kochli, which the Rambam says kochli is the name of a place. Whereas the Oruch says that kochli means literally that it's a colored ezov. It has some sort of color, or it has, whether it's blue or whether it's just colored in general, like kuchol means to put on eye makeup for a woman. So over here means ezov kochli, not the Roman ezov, and not the desert ezov. It's not really the desert ezov, it means the uninhabited areas where there is the ezov. Below kol ezov, sheish lo shem levai. No other ezov that has a second descriptor to it. it means to be an ezov, and not an ezov with some sort of modification or qualification of it. The Roman, the Greek, whatever it is that you're adding on, that doesn't work. So now over here also, the kufshani tzutzaini, how come over there they're considered to be good torim? The Torah says tor, and you should make the same drosha, which is tor means tor, and not the tor, according to Rashi, means the tor in Aramaic, kufshani, mitzutzaini. So that means tzutzian tor, or according to the oruch, it means the tor with this feature. So that'd be similar like kuchli for the oruch, which means the colored ezov. So over here too, the crowned tor should also be disqualified because it's not a tor. So Amar Abaye, so Abaye reconciles and says, kol shenishtaneh shmo kodem matan Torah, anything that changed its name before Natan Torah, v'kpida Torah alav, yesh lo shem levai pasul. So then if the Torah is makpid on a specific item, and it has a accompanying name or a nickname to it, then it is pasul. So here, by the case of Ezov, these alternate species or these alternate names were already known prior to Matan Torah. So when the Torah comes along and says Ezov, it means Ezov to the exclusion of these other items. Behani lo nishtanu shman kodim Matan Torah. On the other hand, the Torim didn't have their particular name before Matan Torah. The names are the designated names that give them unique status. That all happened post-Matan Torah. So that means that when at Matan Torah, when it says Torim, everything is subsumed under Torim. Later on, they got these names of Kufshani to Tutsani or whatever other names they got. That's a later development. But that doesn't mean they're excluded by the Torah, because the Torah didn't have that distinction or differentiation to say Torim and not this. By Ezov, they're already distinguished or unique. And therefore, when it says Ezov, it means Ezov and not anything with a shame levi on it. Rav Amar, Hani Kufshani Tzutzaini, Batrayu, in their city, Stama Kariluhu. They call them just Torim. Meaning that the reason that we call them Kufshani Tzutzaini, according to Rashi, is because they come from that location. So those are the Torim from that location. But in that location, they just call them the Torim. Just like you can have a pigeon from London, a New York City pigeon, you can have different cities that are associated. It's not a different pigeon, it's just a pigeon that is indigenous to that area. That doesn't change the fact that it is a pigeon. So similarly over here, the name is not a proper noun. What he's suggesting is by Ezov, when we call it Ezov Romi or Ezov Yavan, it's not simply about the location, it is a proper noun. It's a noun phrase that says it's called an Ezov Yavan, not just because it's an Ezov from Yavan. The species is an Ezov Yavan. It's different than Ezov. Over here, the Kufshani Tzutzaini is not distinct from any regular Kufshani. It's just when you're outside that area, that's how you call it. When you're in that area, you just call it a Kufshani. You call it a Tor. That's how Rova solves this problem, as opposed to a Bayis solution. Amar Rav Yehuda, Hane Karze Debei Chilfei. So these Karze, which we don't know what they are, Machloka Rashi and Tosafot, the Beit Chilfei are from, Rashi says over here, the areas where they have rushes, Sharu, they are Mutarim. The Beit Krave, that those that come from the area where there are cabbages, Asire, they're problematic. Now Rashi says over here, Karze, which is different, he says Chagavim. We're speaking about locusts over here. We're speaking about whether these are kosher or non-kosher locusts. So the Karze that live amongst the rushes are Mutar. The ones that live among the cabbages are asur. You can see over here, the Aruch has the gears of not Beit Kave, but Beit Kire, which then would mean that these are speaking about locations, maybe, rather than simply specific types of vegetation that they grow amongst. Others say Beit Kave means, like the Gemara uses in other places, Kave means to plow. Areas where the fields are plowed versus the Beit Chilfe, where areas which are in the wild. So maybe that's could be the difference. The Rashi says they're speaking about Chagavim. You look up in Tosfot, he says, Perish Mekunches, Dari B'Chagavim, V'lo Mashmakein. The Kulu Shmaitim, Ofo Dari. Says the entire sugi here is female birds, and all of a sudden we get a locust, a Chagav, right in the middle here. Doesn't make any sense that that's added in. It could be because the Memra comes from Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yehuda gave us another Memra in Kashrut, and it might be that it's brought down here, not because of the thematic connection, but because of the person who's saying over the Memra, and that's why they brought it over here, according to Rashi. But the bigger problem comes up with the next piece. Amar Avinu, Malkina Layom Mishum Sheret Zahov. If you eat them, meaning the ones that are Asurim, if you eat them, then you're Chayav for Sheret Zahov. So Tosafot says, that's not a Chiddush, according to Rashi. If they are really Chagavim, then Chagavim, or locusts, are Shratzim. Now, there are Shratzim that are Kshirim, and there are Shratzim that are Tmeim, and problematic. So obviously, if it's a problematic locus, then you're going to get a malkot for Sheret Ha'olof. What's the question? That's why Tosfos says there's no chiddush then. But if it is a bird, then if you say that you get malkot for Sheret Ha'olof, that's a chiddush. Because an olf is not usually a sheretz. So sheretz olf means that it has a crossover. It's such a small bird that has a din of shretzim al haaretz. Its properties or its features are similar to that of a sheretz. And that's the chiddush of Ravina over here. Even though it's a bird, you're going to get a din or you're going to get malkot for sheretz ha'olf. Bama Rav Yehuda. Sardo shori. Alignment is mutar. Bardo, a white jay, a seer, is problematic. The simanech. And the way to remember it is bar mine. Bar means outside or pushed away. So the barda is the one that you push out, that mine. Marda, so this is the murkok, sveka. We don't know which way to go with that. Amravasi, shmona svekotain. We have a number of birds, eight of them, that we don't know what the din of these birds is. And here again, the machlok between Rashi and the Rav Moshe Bar Yosef is going to come apparent. Chova, which is the crested lark. The choga lark. I'm giving suggestions as to what they are. I don't think we can be 100% sure that these are the names. Suga is a wren. Hargona is the mountain chaffinch. Tushlame is the woodlark. Umarda, which is the moorcock that we mentioned before that was a safek. And kuchilna, which is the black woodpecker. Obarnafka, which is a partridge. So these are birds that we have a sefek about as to whether they are birds that are kshirim. My sefekayu. What is the sefek over here? Ofot, torim, kurkuban niklaf. We have a misora that the ofot that are torim, their gizzards pull out easily. Utmeim ain't kurkuban niklaf. And those that are tamei ain't kurkuban niklaf. This is the source for this shita that I told before, the Rabbeinu Chananel, that says that this is a super siman tara, and we'll see that in the Bali Tosfot in a second. V'hani kurkubanan niklaf b'sakina. Here they come out in a difficult manner, so that the kurkuban can't come out by hand. It can't come out if you cut it by knife. So those that are tmeim, their kurkuban doesn't come out at all. Doesn't peel away at all. Those that are torim, it peels away by yad. These sit in between, because it does peel away, but you need a utensil to peel them away. That's the safek that's over here. Rashi says, Kurkuban niklaf b'sakina, b'shar shloshet simanim mivurarim bahen. They have all the other three things. They are enodores, they have an etzpa yatera, and they have a zefek, they have a kra. So Rashi says they have all these three other simanei tara, and then they're just missing this question about the kurkuban niklaf. And so the problem, according to Rashi, is that these can be confused with the 20 birds that are tzmeim. The 20 birds that are tzmeim have three simanei kashrut, and this has three, and we're not sure if the fourth is a siman, and then it would definitely be kosher, or the fourth is not, and then it could be one of those 20 birds, and you have to then determine whether you know or don't know whether it's one of the 20 birds. That is the safek according to Rashi, which he says here. But again, this only works according to Rashi, because according to Rashi, the other simanim are possible to be torim and not be automatically tohor. He says these birds are enu dores. According to Rabbeinu Tam, and according to Rav Moshe Bar Yosef, there's only one bird that is enu dores, that is tamei. And that is either the peres or the oznia. That'd be the only choice. And therefore, they're going to have to explain this gemara differently. Bali Tosafot over here, bring Rashi's interpretation. Peres kunches v'shar gimel simanim v'rim behem. V'yesh l'daktek mitokach, the gimel simanim shel tara, shel yutet ofot, hainu. He says, now for Rashi, you know, what are the three simanei tara? According to Rashi, he's saying you can confuse these birds. That means now from this, you can know what are the three simanei tara for all these other birds. They are etzpe yatera, v'zefek, v'enu dores. That has to be the other three. He says, v'yev sharlomar, v'yen acher. And it can't be any other way, because again, for the Rabbeinu Tam, if it was the kurkubano niklaf, then by definition, if you have those three, then it's enu dores. So then you'd have four by definition. So those are the only three that it could be based on the Gemara over here. But then he quotes Rabbeinu Chananel Perish, Kabeofa Bab Siman Achad Torah, that if you have a bird that comes with one siman, it's not a case here like Rashi says that all three are tohor and Kurkuban Amirah is up in the air. Rather, it's a case where you have one siman that is tohor. Kabbalah Biyadeinu Me'avoteinu. We have a Kabbalah from our forefathers. Shezeh Siman Kurkubano Niklaf. That one siman is kurkubano niklaf. Mashma. So Lamar, the Ha'ul Gulo Mishkachar Elo O Beperes O Benoziah, Zer Korkman O Niklaf. He's saying now that the one siman that is found in the Peres Vozniah, which is the only thing you can confuse a single siman Tara with, is Korkman O Niklaf. That's what the Rabbeinu Hananel is saying. This super siman is Korkman O Niklaf. That's because there's only one bird that has that is Tamei. And that is the Peres or the Ozniah. And so if you know that they're not in the Yishuv, then you don't have to worry about them anyway. And so therefore, if you get a bird with a single siman tara, you'd be fine. And what's that? That's kukumano nikla. That's the one of the simanim. The other three are found in all the other birds. This one is only found in this, either the Peres or Ozniah. That's what Tosfot suggests. So Tosfot points out that there's a little bit of a problem with that, because the Rabbeinu Hananel said before that the three features that are found by all the birds are Korkono, Niklaf, Zefik, and Yetzba Yitariah. But they are Dorsim, similar to the way that Rav Moshe Bar Yosef explained it. And now that wouldn't work out, because that means that the one Siman that is found by the Peres Ozniah is Eno Doris. And now he's saying that the one Siman is Korkono, Niklaf. So he says, Kozelo Kotav Elo the Siman Ba'alma. He says that when Rabbeinu Hananel was saying that over there, he wasn't really saying it literally. He was just saying it to give you an example. But that's not what he believed, really. He didn't think that was the real way to explain it. The real one that doesn't appear in all of them is Korkomeno Niklaf. It's amazing there, according to the Rabbeinu Hananel and the Baal Halacha Gudolot has the same view from here, that Korkomeno Niklaf is a super feature, that if you have it, you would be kasher, because by definition, any bird with that one siman tara is kasher with the exception of either the Peres Vozniah. If they don't live amongst us, then you're in the all clear with that. So according to what I just explained, even better is now, based on this, if you have the Korkomeno Niklaf plus one other siman, all birds should be kasher. Korkomeno Niklaf is such a unique feature, it's only found in the Peres Vozniah, the non-kosher birds, one of those two. That means if you have that feature plus another kosher feature, you've already eliminated the Peres Vozniah, because they only have one feature. This has two features. And none of the other birds have the feature of Korkomeno Niklaf. That means if you have Korkomeno Niklaf plus one other feature, you're done. It's a kosher bird, for sure. So Im Kain, Oto Of, Shukorim, Kovna, the Laz, Of Tahorhu. That bird that we have amongst us, Korkomeno Niklaf, it has a gizzard that peels, V'yeshlo Etzpe Yeteira. It has an Etzpe Yeteira, V'yemlo Zepek, V'zeteima. That makes no sense, because it's very similar to a kosher yanshuf, an owl, or one of those non-kosher birds. Because it has cheeks like a human being, and that's one of the features of a kosher yanshuf. So he says, Tosfot says, then I think that zefek, the crop, is that feature that's not found in the other birds. So now we have three different opinions as to what is that one feature that's not found in all the other birds and is found in the Peres Vozniah. If the Rabbeinu Hananel, according to Tosfot, saying that it's the Korbano Niklaf, the Baal Yakov Tosfot saying that he thinks it's the Zefek, and the Ramban and others in the name of Moshe Ben Yosef saying that it is Eno Dores, is the one feature that's not found in the other birds. And then he goes on to discuss more about the birds that are in his area, trying to classify them and figure out where their classifications are. Now, according to Rav Moshe Bar Yosef, the Chetz Fekod are because they have two Simanei Tara, and the Safek is that they're no rave. Or, they have a Siman Achad of Tara, and they're a Sefeko B'Shar Tmeim. So for him, it's very easy to understand over here, whether they have two Simanei Tara, or they have one Siman Tara, according to him, it's not just the Safek of Peres Vozniah, it's a Safek with all the birds that are Tmeim. And therefore, it's a significant safek unless you know all the birds that are tmeim. And that's why over here, it's problematic, or the chet birds that are the sfekot, is because they only have this one siman tara. Now, Gemara says, Ba'i bar avzo, there was this goose, Davi bei mar shmuel, dolavi mikla kurkabene, his gizzard did not peel away. Ve'otve b'shimsha, he sat it out in the sun, came into Rafi iklif. Once it loosened up, it peeled away easily. Hatam ki rafi iklif biyodo. The difference between that case and the case of the eighth that we have safek about is, in that case, once he sat it down in the sun, you didn't need a utensil to pull it away. It pulled away by hand easily. Hachav gav de rafi lo miklif. Over here, even if they loosen up, you put them in the sun, they still need a utensil to get them out. And that's why there is Safek versus this goose that was in the house of Bar Shmuel, where when you put it out, then it became easy to take it out by hand, and that's why it's considered to be a Korkobano Niklav. Amar Abayi, Tarnagola de Agma, the chicken of the swamps, Chad Mishmona Sfekotu. It's one of these eight Sfekot. Behind Mardo. And that's synonymous with the Mardo that we mentioned above, Mardo that we mentioned both in the statement of Rabbi Yehuda before, as well as in the Shmona Sfekot. Amar Papa, Tarnagola de Agma, which is what we just mentioned here, which is the Murakok, Asira, that's problematic. Tarnagolota de Agma, Sharya, but the Mur, her bird, is Mutar. B'simanech, and the way to remember that is Amoni, below Amonit. When it comes to letting Gerim into Klal Yisrael, in Amoni, the male is rejected, the female is allowed to convert and join Klal Yisrael. So do over here. The male is okay, the female is not okay. That's the way Rashi learns it. Tosfot is absolutely against learning that. He says, "Ein deferesh nekeva muteret v'sachar asur." There's no way that you could possibly say that in the same species, the male is asur and the female is mutar. How do you ever have such a case? Birds are a product of a male and a female, and they are what their parents are. If that's the case, how can you ever have a kosher mur bird? But rather, he says that Tarnagola de Agma and Tarnagolota de Agma are actually different species. Some identify it as the black grouse versus the sharp-tailed grouse, and that their names are the male name and the female name. And that's a siman. The siman is the one that is known, its species, by the male name, that is asur. The species that's known by a female, Tarnagolota, that is Muteret, but not that they're the same species, a male and a female, they're called by a male name for this species, and there's one they're called by the female name for a different species. And they're totally different species, and the siman is exactly that, a siman, but not saying that it's a male or female bird. Darash Mameyamar, Tarnagolota Dagma Asira, he goes against what we just saw from Rapapa, Kazua Didarsa Ba'achla, because we saw that it's Doreis, and it eats. Vahino Giruta. And that is similar or is synonymous with the name Giruta. So here, this opens up Pandora's box, and this creates the huge problem with birds. It seems from here that this bird at one point was Mutar. They said it was Sharia. Then, Raymar comes along and says it's Asur because it acts in a way that makes it into a Tameh bird, which is that it's Doreis Vochel. So Rashi says over here, Ra'u Chachamim Shedoreset Vochelet. They saw that it acted in this way. And therefore, they were oser, the Giruta, even though it was mutar before, they now made it asur. And Tosfot says over here, mitchila yusvarim lo dar savachla. In the beginning, they thought it was not the race. B'hai siman luchudei hayochlim oto. And from that siman alone, they ate it. Lo chashim the peres vozniyat, lo shchichi b'yishuv. So according to those that say that the only siman that is not found in any of the Tameh birds except the Peres Vozniyat is Lo Doreis. They saw it wasn't Doreis, and they thought it was fine because it wasn't a Peres Vozniyat that doesn't live amongst them, and therefore it should have been fine, because Lo Doreis should have been a given that it's a Tor bird. O Kimlehu Begavei Talami Min Peres Vozniyahu. Or they knew it wasn't from that species. So according to those that say that the Inu Doreis is that super feature, that it only appears in Paris or Ozniyah, and as long as you know it's not from them, or they don't live amongst that area where we are, you're in great shape over here, and therefore it would have been kasher. But then suddenly they realize that it is Doreis Vochelet, and then they change their minds and say it's Asur. So Rashi says from this, Mitoch Shein Anu Bikiyim Behem, since we're not experts about birds, nearly Do'ofa Balifanenu, any bird that comes before us, Yishlamar, Shemi Yidroth, we don't know whether it is a bird of prey or not a bird of prey. We just don't know. They thought originally that it was a kosher bird. And then suddenly they realize that it's the race and they make it into a non-kosher bird. Rashi says, now for that reason, we only can eat birds that we have a misorah about. Even when we have all of these features, there's one feature that's always up in the air, and that is Doreis. It is up in the air. We saw the Chachamim themselves made a mistake about it. If that's the case, then certainly we can make a mistake about it. Since that's up in the air, you need a Mesorah in order to eat such birds. Now, this is Rashi the Shitato.
Rashi the Shita Do is that you can have the other three Simanei Tara, and the bird could still be a Dores, or Eino Dores. And therefore, for Rashi, you need a Mesorit, because the other three Simanei Tara are not good enough in order to make a Dores, Eino Dores. For the Rabbeinu Tam, and for the Rav Moshe Bar Yosef, that's not true. If you have the other three Simanei Tara, by definition, it is Eino Dores. And therefore, you don't need a Mesorit about it. If you have the other three Simanei Tara, then for sure, you don't need a Mesorit. So this is Rashi the Shita Do, that you need a Mesorit. But like anything else in halacha, when Rashi says something, it has huge influence on halacha. We find in other places, by matzah shira and fruit juices with matzah, Rashi has a unique shita there, and we're choshesh for Rashi's shita. And similar over here, Rashi's shita carries a tremendous amount of weight, and therefore there, over time it develops that Rashi's position becomes the primary decision that says that you need a mesora in order to eat a bird. That presents problems from birds that came from places where they didn't have a Mesorah. For instance, chickens. Chickens come from India. They don't come from locales where the Chachamim were. And therefore, the chicken definitely came from somewhere where, quote-unquote, they didn't have a Mesorah about it. So clearly, they were matir the chicken based on the features of the chicken. Another bird that came from outside of the areas where people lived was the turkey, which came from the New World, which came from North America, and was brought into Europe. And a new bird, the question about whether it was kosher or not, it seems to have all the features of what would be a kosher bird. But on the other hand, we don't have a mesorah about the turkey. Yet, overwhelmingly, people do eat the turkey. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a big tshuva about this, about turkey and the mesorah surrounding turkey, as to whether there is a mesorah from Europe about it, or whether it's really a new bird that was now discovered. But it probably, in all likelihood, is the fact that this was before Rashi's Shita became the primary Shita. Before Rashi's Shita becomes the primary Shita, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, and according to Rav Moshe Bar Yosef, you have the other three Simanei Tara, which the turkey does have, then by definition, it would be okay. The bird would be fine, because of the fact that it has those three Simanim, it's Eino Dores. That's one way to deal with it. The other way to deal with it is that the turkey's been around for a long time. People have had time to observe the turkey, and over hundreds of years, we've seen the turkey is not Dores. That's a pretty good evidence of the fact that it's not a bird that is Dores, and therefore also it might be qualified because of that. But either way, that's how maybe the turkey got in under the wire, but that doesn't mean that we don't today hold of the position of Rashi, which is that we need a mesorah about the birds in order to eat them because of this Dores, meaning Dores, even though the majority of the Rishonim view differently and think that Rashi is wrong about this, because if you have the other three simanim, by definition, it would be Eino Dores, and it should be a kosher bird. Nevertheless, most are choshesh v'shita Rashi, that we need a mesorah, because of the mistake that was made here by the Chachamim about Dores, v'Eino Dores. Alright, now the Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav, Shvor Andar Pato, the domesticated parrot, Shari is Mutar, Piruz Andar Pato, and the wild parrot, Asur. The Simanech, and the way to remember that is, Piruz Rishaya. Rashi says it was a Shem Adam, it was a person that was known in their time, who was a Rasha. And since the bird, Piruz, has like wild, so the one who was known as Piruz was the Rasha, and that's the one that is Asur. The other possibility is that he was a king of Persia. And there was one king of Persia that was named Piruz, and he was very difficult for the Jews because he had a strong Zoroastrian belief in the duality, and he used to kill people of other faiths, and so that he was known as the Piruz Rishaya because of that behavior, where it wasn't so good for the Jews in Persia under his rule. Generally, under the Persian rule, the Jews fared fairly well. Here were the exceptions when you had a king that came that was very tied into the Zoroastrian faith, which is the belief in duality, evil and good, dark and light. Might have to do with the Zugot in Pesachim, but either way, that's the siman that you have. Amar Rav Huna, Bonia, Shari. So some translate that as being a penguin. Parza is the simu. Asir is problematic. The simanech, Proa Amgosha. The Rashi says, Shem Mechashef, a sorcerer, who saw the Shkat Beit Parveh, and he made this area in Yoma, in the Beit HaMikdash. It's a whole story in Yoma. But he's Paro Amgosha, which we would view negatively. And therefore, the Paroa, the Simu, is Asur. Amra Papa, Mardo,
Zagid v'achil shari. Sakid v'achil asur. Rashi says that these are shem of echad. V'chein kulam shem of ot v'chein. This mardu zagid v'achil is the name of the bird. It has a long name that includes three words to it. So this mardu zagid v'achil is mutar. Sakid v'achil is asur. Rashi says they are called this, but it is also descriptive in nature, which is that the sagid v'achil means it bows down to eat. And the other one is the gid v'achil, means that it turns around in order to eat. The simaneich, lo tishtachavel el acher. Don't bow down to foreign gods, because the one that has sagid, which in Aramaic means to bow down, that is the one that is asur. That's why siman is lo tishtachavel el acher. Amar Shuel, shatio chamra asire. The red-winged thrush is asur. The simaneich, and the way to remember that is, shtuye yayin sulim na'avodah. That those that drink wine, or pasul avodah, so the one that is known as shatya chamra, the wine drinker, but it means the red-winged rush, so that is asur. Bamar Shmuel, mazga chamra, lapwing is asira, but mazga chamra sharia. But the stock pigeon is sharia is mutar, the simarech, and the way to remember that is, yefe koach ben, mikoach av, which is a mishnah in Shmuel. And sometimes the son has more power than the parent in terms of collections through a shvua. And so over here, that the bat mazka chamra is mutar. On the other hand, the mazka chamra itself is asur. Again, they have to be two species because it can't be that it's an older and younger one because obviously they have the same din. But they have a name that is similar and therefore the way to remember it, the siman from that is yafek kochabein mikoach ha'av. Amar Rav Yehuda, Shkitana Arike Shake Visumke Sharia. The flamingo who has long legs and is reddish in color, Sharia is mutar. Visimaneich Murzama. And the way to remember that is Murzama, Rashi says, Shem Op Shemukzaklan Bitoar. It was another bird that they knew was kasher, and it had long legs, and a body was reddish or pinkish. Goze Visumke. If it has short legs and it's very dark, asire, then it's problematic. The simaneich, and the way to remember that is nanas pasul. A kohen that has a mum of being a nanas, that's one of the mumei kohanim in terms of avoda. Arike shake viyaroke, if it has long legs and it's yellowish or green, asire, then it's problematic. The simaneich, the way to remember that is yirokim psulim, which we just saw back on Daf Nun Zayin, which is that a bird fell into the fire and its inner organs turn green, they are psulim. So to over here, the green version of this bird is pasul. Alright, we're going to stop here, six lines down on the top of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph.